Two hearts are better than one heart. Four lips are sweeter than two. Come close to me, let's kiss and see what togetherness can do.
Well, Frankie Avalon can pull off togetherness, but did Barack Obama do that on Capitol Hill last night in the State of the Union address? Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. David Remnick seems to think there wasn't much fractious in the speech. The rhetoric of Barack Obama really assiduously avoided divisive issues. What was your view, Todd?
Hey, John. Well, not as much fractious as in that speech as you might usually find when the parties are divided and it's a partisan speech. But it didn't completely avoid fractiousness. Don't forget, the president brought up immigration, said he wants to said he still wants to do immigration reform. And depending on who you talk to after the speech, Republicans and Democrats heard very different things in those dog whistles. And by the way, the president defended his health care plan. The Republican House of Representatives, newly empowered, spent their whole all the political capital of their first 2 weeks in office repealing what they call Obamacare.
Right.
And Barack Obama got up there and said, I'll deal with you on one or two details, but we're not repealing this, guys. We're not going back. Get over it. You know, let's not relitigate the last 2 years. Let's get on with it.
Well, re-legislate, not litigate. You don't you mean?
Well,
and what's this dog whistles?
The argument, yeah.
What's this whistles?
Sorry,
dog whistles.
Little bit of a beltway term there. Dog whistles. When people hear something different from what you actually say.
Yeah? I see. All right.
Only the dogs can hear it.
Well, what kind of a dog whistle was this, Todd?
What comes of this moment is up to us. What comes of this moment will be determined not by whether we can sit together tonight, but whether we can work together tomorrow.
Now, Todd, that seemed deliberately designed to make the Republican responses, and there were a couple of them, seem like a no to the work together tomorrow call.
Yeah, I think it was. While the president was avoiding being fractious, and David Remnick was right about that for the most part, in my opinion, the president was also situating himself in the middle and exposing his partisan enemies as the agents of gridlock. You know, he said in another part of the speech, the future is ours to win, but to get there, we can't stand still. And I heard that as saying everyone who's predicting gridlock over the next 2 years because the Tea Party or the right or the Republicans or John Boehner just won't work with me, that's not going to work for America. So, you know, sitting together intermingled is great. That gets on, you know, that gets on the news and on TMZ and on radio shows and stuff like that. But going forward, you guys are going to have to shake my hand if you don't want to be viewed as being partisan and out in the cold here.
So that's the food chain, the news, radio, the news, TMZ, and radio shows. Here's Paul Ryan, who gave the official Republican response to the State of the Union address.
Our debt is out of control. What was a fiscal challenge is now a fiscal crisis. We cannot deny it. Instead, we must, as Americans, confront it responsibly. And that is exactly what Republicans pledged to do.
They literally pledged to cut spending in a little photo op before the State of the Union address. How fractious is this reduce spending idea?
Well, there's fractiousness even on the Republican side about how far to go reducing spending. Republicans have blazed in promising to cut $100 billion out of the budget by March, John. There has to be a spending bill, a continuing resolution in March. The right wing of John Boehner's Republican conference wants that to be a great big number, and they're starting to realize it can't be as big as they promised. So they're already saying, well, the $100 billion we want to cut, it doesn't have to be in this fiscal year. We meant this calendar year. They bought themselves an extra 7 or 8 months there. So even how much to cut among Republicans is a problem. Forget about Democrats in the Senate, who are going to push back really hard on the cut quickly and cut big attitude of Republicans.
So was this a C-SPAN moment or was this a real headline? Unlike previous years, there was a third speaker last night, Representative Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, couldn't resist delivering another response from the Republican opposition, but representing the Tea Party. Only one network, CNN, carried the Bachmann speech, and she began this way.
I want to thank the Tea Party Express and Tea Party HD for inviting me to speak this evening. I'm here at their request and not to compete with the official Republican remarks.
Divided GOP, divided government. Now, that seems to be a prescription for just sort of pure fractiousness going forward.
Yeah, GOP not really happy that Michelle Bachmann decided to do this. But in a way, it's helpful. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, can't afford to hug the Tea Party too closely, John. They're an important part of his political base, an important part of the base of whoever gets the Republican nomination in 2012. But some of it is viewed as fringe, and Michelle Bachmann is John Boehner's conduit to the hard right of the party, which is important to them. It was a strange decision, I think, on her part to give a national speech, even though it was only on one network. But Michelle Bachmann's remarks, and I listened to them right after getting back from the president's speech, were mostly about the past. They were mostly about what went wrong in the economy, and then we spent too much, and then we don't like the health care bill. She made one or two comments about we need to cut spending going forward, but it really was, we talk about dog whistles, it was a lot of overt loud whistles about we don't like Barack Obama and what he's been doing. That's pretty much all it was.
Back to the president, we reported yesterday that Carol Browner is out as the energy czar, which means cap and trade, which wasn't really mentioned last night, is way out on the horizon. But the president continues to wager that light rail and new transportation infrastructure is a good bet going forward. What'd you make of that?
Something that's had bipartisan support in the past, John. Rail projects, transportation infrastructure in general, has always been a place where bipartisan agreement was possible. Whether the president calls it investment or Republicans use the four-letter word spending, he thinks it's a way he can get both parties on board to do some spending in the future, and especially because a lot of those projects are spread around lots of districts.
Well, if you can put a man on the moon, can you get 80% of Americans giving access to light rail? That was sort of the question. You can read more analysis at transportationnation.org. Over to thetakeaway.org and find your way for an analysis on light rail. Thanks so much, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.